Welcome to Layers, a podcast about style and how we get dressed, with Anna Kinsella and me, Stevie Mackenzie Smith. This episode's theme is routine. Anna, on the theme of routine, have you ever had to wear a uniform?
Only for 6 years, which in retrospect doesn't seem that long. It was for convent education, and I have to say, I actually really loved it. As a child, I always loved the sections of novels that dealt with clothes and lists and uniforms. I'm thinking of, I loved the Chalet School series, and they always had these huge amounts of details, like alpine boarding school uniforms, or else Ballet Shoes by Noel Streetfield, which would kind of itemize all these shopping lists full of 1.5 yards of organza for performance dresses and this amount of cross grain ribbon and all this. I don't know. I really loved that.
That sounds amazing. I never read those books. I've actually never heard of them. In fact, like when I was a kid, I just hated wearing school uniform. I think I was spoilt by my primary school, which was very brilliant. And we didn't have to wear a uniform there. So I got used to clothes as a form of self-expression, and because my school was very diverse and, you know, the sorts of kids that attended, I'd learn about different countries and places and cultures via what people in my class were wearing. And so I think by the time I got to secondary school, I was always battling with my head of year over whether I was wearing like a green polka dot belt that wasn't, you know, part of the uniform. But now I'm older, I appreciate the ease of an everyday uniform. And I've talked about this before, being able to just slip into something in the mornings thoughtlessly. And sometimes that means wearing the same thing day after day. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I do think it's still a bit of a battle between self-expression and utility. And, you know, even lately when I've worn the same thing day after day, I've ended up just feeling like I'm not really having as much fun with style as I could be if I was wearing something brightly coloured, you know, on different days of the week.
Yeah, I think a battle is kind of an accurate way to put it. I wonder if there is a way to make that idea of uniform dressing a bit more reflective of our real lives. I always felt those, like, guides of how to dress like a French woman, like, in a way they're appealing, but also they're very prohibitive and kind of dull. I don't know how you can account for emotion and drama and mood if all you own is four similar interchangeable outfits.
Yeah, I think those lists in particular are always very boring. And, you know, having four Breton shirts and ballet flats, it becomes almost quite fascist in the look that it prescribes.
Government-issued Breton top.
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke to Claire Lynch this week, and she's a woman who regularly wears only the colour red. And actually, I think she's created a uniform for herself that's fun and also just now really a part of her identity in a way. Like, she gets recognised on the street for being the woman who wears red. So I visited her in her flat in the middle of Soho, which I think we will probably both agree is the holy grail of London living. And we talked about looking after clothes, wearing the same thing all the time, and colour.
So I am wearing, well, if we start from the bottom, I've got a pair of Marks and Spencer's men's red socks on. I've got a pair of 1970s nylon flared with a pleat in the middle, crease in the middle, red trousers. Underneath there's a St. Michael short sleeve red shirt with a small collar and a little kind of fold over flap on the side with the seam coming down, and then I have a red jacket with 1, 2, 3, 4 big white buttons and white piping around the edge, which actually I think it might be Topshop. I have quite a bit of St. Michael from Marks and Spencer's, and quite a bit of from the kind of 70s, and quite a bit of Jaeger from late 70s, and all of this is red, whereas the Jaeger stuff that I have is almost entirely lime green, because in the summer I wear lime green.
Okay, so this is a good moment to talk about your general approach to style.
So the red started, I guess, when I was about 10 years old. I wore red or turquoise at that point. It kind of varied a bit in the teenage years in grunge and things, with kind of Mary Quant tights in all sorts of colours, but predominantly red was in there. I like the intensity of colour of synthetic fabrics that don't fade. There's something about that kind of intense colour when you keep washing and it still has it, and it has a kind of the quality it has with when the light reflects off of it, and they're just something really sumptuous and unapologetic about them. And I like my clothes to be unapologetic. I wear them, you know, I have two children and they've started asking about, you know, they have their friends asking, why do I wear certain things? I wear them because they make me happy. So when I go around and I'm shopping, that, you know, which less and less these days, but it's definitely, you know, I will go to McCulloch and Wallace, or I'll go to Jonas, or I'll go to Liberty's, or I'll go places to get very specific things. Or I was in Paris recently and, you know, you go around the markets and they have amazing buttons, you know, and that's the sort of thing. So I will, and I repair all of my clothes. So this shirt I've had since I was, I think, 20, and so for like 23 years. And I've got clothes since I was 17, and I just continue to repair. Sometimes I'll change the shape of them because I've kind of changed shape a little, waist size not, but the rest of me's changed a bit. And also, I guess I'm just a bit different, and I'm not that 17-year-old at 43. Yeah, it's really important to me to keep kind of keeping them alive. I mean, one of the things that I wear is my mum's red scarf that she bought in 1969 in Toronto. And I've replaced the tassels on it. And I wear my sister's red woolly hat that still has her name tag on it, her maiden name, Lisa Wright. And that's so I've got a long red coat that, curiously, I bought with them in a charity shop in the sale, which is very me, for £6. And I took it in because it wasn't the right size. And then I wear that with my mum's. My mum's 5'9", so huge different in height. It's a very long, sort of wrapped round 3 or 4 times around the head. And then I've got overly long tassels that I put on it about 6 months ago, I guess, something like that. I come from Southampton, and Southampton it's a red town. You know, I mean, people look at the football team, but if you look at the emblem of Southampton, the place, you have the rose there, and everything is red. And although I rejected it entirely and desperately didn't want to be there, I think part of me still holds on to that. I never supported football, and I don't like the kind of hatred that red and blue kind of can provoke in that way. But I think a piece of me still wants to hold on to that. You know, my parents were born there, my grandparents were born there, and there's something like I come from redness. Just kind of, and it's strangely empowering. You know, if I go out in all red, I feel great. I mean, I do get, particularly in the summertime, the Christa Berg Lady in Red songs. You know, kind of builders, people putting up fences, all that kind of, you know, they start sort of singing it away. I just smile because I think actually it's quite sweet. Of all the things that people could do, that's, you know, it's, you know, I love the song 99 Red Balloons, you know, and for my 30th birthday, all the food was red, all the drinks were red. Red balloons all across the ceiling and everything, and every song that was played had the word red in it. Brilliant. You know, it was kind of like, and it just felt so celebratory. I mean, today, I mean, of all days, today is Chinese New Year. Mm. And red is, you know, an auspicious colour. It's seen to be, you know, in British culture, sometimes people might see it as stop or angry or danger or things like that. But in Chinese culture, it's seen as a lucky colour. And living so close to Chinatown, there are times actually where there's people who, you know, from like my children, about a third of the children that go to the primary school that my son goes to are from Chinese families, and they don't bat an eyelid. Sometimes they might smile, particularly this time of year.
Have there ever been moments when you've got bored and you've wanted to change it up, or felt reflective about the fact that your identity is really linked to a colour?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, well, I mean, I do dabble occasionally in yellow and in blue. And then I say in summer in green. I love colour so much that I don't really feel it's in any way problematic. I find it much more problematic if someone went, like I went to a funeral last Thursday and I had kind of people having conversations with me about what I was going to wear. I do have one black funeral dress, black tights, black jacket and a black snood, I suppose is the word. Although I didn't wear that. I have a pair of it's close to black watch tongue, and I kind of felt more comfortable in that, and then I wore that with a red shirt and a black jacket and the black snood. I felt like I was in disguise, like I was somebody else.
What are your tips for keeping items of clothing looking bright over long periods of time? I can't believe you've had items for 20 years and they, you know, how do you avoid them fading?
They're synthetic fabrics, most of them, so they don't really fade. I do use woolite sometimes.
What's woolite?
It's a it's a detergent for wool. So anything right. I've got that's wool, a hand wash in Woolite. I'm a bit of a hand washer. I don't know about the rest of London, but Soho is awful for moths. With moths, I have anything and everything that you can have for moths. I mean, I've got the kind of sticky things. I've got the cedarwood. I've got these other things that my mum posts them to me. She knows, like, yeah, it's moth central here. So I have these bits of paper that apparently kill moth eggs wardrobe. They're pretty good. Yeah, I think everything altogether seems pretty good. And hoovering. So hoovering the bottom of the wardrobe is really key.
These are very good tips. And I mean, I think that lots of people just avoid doing things like this because it takes a lot of time. I mean, I'm quite ashamed. I have a washing basket which genuinely has things in the bottom, which I think have been there for about 4 years. I know that's really awful, like knits, jumpers.
I think you probably need to take it more out and hoover the bottom, because you will, that is, you know, they're going to be very happy in there.
Moth city.
Yeah, it'll be dark and warm and it'll just, they'll probably just look like sand. You know, so you'll kind of think it's just general dusty whatever, but no, hoover it up, because you don't want them. I mean, most people just throw their clothes away. Although I do, I mean, I have one jumper, which actually is green rather than red, but it goes with the kilt. I put a red shirt underneath, and all the back has got all these moth holes all through the back. I don't know why not on the front, but the back of the arms, all over the back, and the back of the other arm. Sorry, I'm moving through as I move my hand. And I just allow all the red to come through the green, and I love it. There's a guy who's sadly passed away now, he used to live around here, called Sebastian Horsley, who wore extraordinary clothes, and he had the most amazing red suit with this huge red top hat. But he, all his moth-ridden clothes, he would do that. He'd just wear a contrasting colour underneath and just be proud of it. Because some things, it's a cashmere jumper, this one, I haven't got hope. So just let them eat it and then just kind of embrace the, you know, the new fabric that's being made.
Claire Lynch is a freelance producer, radio artist and presenter of Soho Hour on London Soho Radio, every Thursday morning from 9 to 10. She's on Instagram at Claire Lynch Red. That's C-L-A-R-E Lynch Red. You know, after revealing to Claire how many years my hand washing pile has been festering for, I actually tackled it this week.
Woohoo, congrats.
Thank you. I have to admit I was actually quite ashamed. and also quite ashamed that people are now going to hear that. It was 4 years. I mean, I really did take that washing basket from about four different houses over that time as well. But I felt I should be honest about my particular slovenliness when it comes to hand washing my knitwear. It's not one of my strong points. But that interview did leave me thinking about how, what kind of routines we have for maintaining as well as wearing our clothes. And sometimes where we get those routines from as well. So my granny showed me how she hand washed her cashmere. And now that's the method that I copy. And she died a few years ago. And I really, you know, just like squeezing the water out of the cuffs and thinking about what I had been taught made me feel really connected to her, which I think is another element of routine that can be really lovely. Like what you inherit from other people, what the tips that they give you.
Absolutely. I think washing is a funny one for me too. I do have a sentimentality attached to it in a way. I think there's something kind of romantic about hand washing silk dresses and bras and things like that. I think it's because when I first moved away from home, I felt that really sharply. This idea of starting a routine like that on my own terms, it felt so domestic and grown up in a way that seemed to be definitive of my adulthood and my personhood in a way. I mean, I don't always feel that way now when I'm knee-deep in hand-washing on a Sunday morning, which I don't let it get to 4 years, but I do.
Oh, you should try it sometime.
Go quite a while.
Do you actually hand-wash on a Sunday? Is that something that you would do once a week, like a clean of the house or whatever?
If I have time on a Sunday, I would, but that makes it seem like I'm very diligent about it. I'm not. I am the kind of person who mostly hand-washes things when I need to wear them again.
Mm.
Which, and sometimes it's on a Sunday when I'm thinking about what I'm going to wear for the week ahead. But I do, when I am knee-deep in all that laundry, I do try to hang on to what it felt like back then. That ability to first create a routine around your own clothes and your domestic tasks and how it did kind of feel like a freedom. But I don't know if that counts as a tip.
Yeah, I am fascinated by these tips that people share, and also by the tips that people sort of keep to themselves, because maybe to sharing would be to overshare. This is generally my problem, oversharing, so why the hell not? This isn't actually one of my tips. It's a tip that I got from a very sage older relative, and she taught me to cut the crotches out of tights to prevent getting thrush all the time.
I've never heard that before. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, it's quite funny. It's a bit like a pair of homemade, very tight chaps. But like, why not? Because sometimes it feels like women have to put up with a lot of discomfort, and that's both from our clothes and just general medical complaints like thrush. Like, not to get too medical about it, but every time, like some people, including myself, get thrush every time we take antibiotics. And if you think about how often you have to take antibiotics for other things, like, that's a lot of discomfort to be in.
Yeah.
So, and I think we've sort of accepted those discomforts as a part of life. And so I loved that advice. And I wonder, there must be lots of other nifty things, the sorts of things that, like, you share with your friends when you've had a glass of wine, you're like, oh, you should try this thing.
Yeah.
Like, just...
that you're almost embarrassed about.
Yeah, just cut the crotches. People to know. Cut the crotches out of your tights. Give it a go.
A basic item of clothing that I buy all the time are biker boots. I just wear them every day, and so I need to just buy a new pair pretty much every year.
A basic item of clothing I keep buying is the Uniqlo HeatTech polo neck in two different thicknesses. I have the thin ones, which are very like base layery, and then they have one which has a fine layer of fuzz on the inside, which I wear as an item in its own right.
I am a firm believer in buying less but buying better, especially with shoes. And I go to Church's for black leather Chelsea boots, which usually lasts me, a couple of years, if not longer.
The item of clothing that I buy again and again is probably a polo neck, and I tend to get them either secondhand or from Uniqlo.
One of the items I always go back to is just a classic hoodie. Like, I wear them to dance in, I wear them to travel in, I just wear them, especially, I think I'm thinking that way because we're in winter right now. I feel like if you were asking me this question in summer, my answer would be different, but like, it's like, it feels like a protective layering, and like, and you have like a kangaroo pocket, and like, I like having, I'm a practical dresser, so I like to be comfortable, I like to be warm or cool, and I like to have like pockets, or like, I could put all my shit in and, like, not lose stuff.
So the basic item of clothing I have bought repeatedly now for a long time is Marks & Spencer's men's socks, plain colour socks with silver in them. And, they are the best. Size 6 to 8, and occasionally they will shift the colour and I have to wait. But, they have amazing red socks in there.
Well, I guess what I'm wearing is quite a good example of my style. Mm-hmm. So everything I'm wearing is vintage, and the jeans are Levi's. They're from the 70s, and they're really simple. Mm. And they're quite boyish, I guess, in how they fit, and I've worn them turn up. And I have so many pairs of jeans like this, blue or black jeans that are sort of quite wide, mm-hmm. in the sense that they don't hug your body too much. So yeah, these are vintage, and my shirt is vintage as well. The shirt is a men's Prada shirt, I think from the 90s. I got it in this really good little vintage store in Florence, and it's kind of like an oversized white man shirt, but it has this, it has like a lace-up detail.
It's like what you see a peasant wearing in like a French painting.
Totally. Oh, it's a bit like Miss 60 as well,
Like, yeah, the sexy lace-up.
Exactly. It's kind of naff, but I really like it. And this is sort of kind of what my style is. Like, if you look in my wardrobe, which I will do imminently, it's jeans like this, and then sort of mannish tops, mm-hmm. like this, and then tons and tons of trainers. And then I'm also really interested, I really love jewellery, mm-hmm. so I always wear lots and lots of gold jewellery. I have lots and lots of piercings, and I wear, like, little rings and stuff. So I quite like the details of things. Like, I'm really specific about my clothes, like, how things fit. Like, a shirt has to be oversized in just the right way, and jeans have to fit sort of just so, very mm-hmm. specific about stuff.
My name is Lou Stoppard, and I am a writer and a curator. I tend to write about clothes and visual culture. I don't tend to write pieces that encourage people to buy things, so I'm not
don't really write so much about trends. I tend to more write about, I guess, society and why people do what they do or why they're interested in what they're interested in. And that's sort of what the exhibitions I curate tend to be about as well.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find that working in that industry has affected how you dress?
It's interesting because I think when you work in fashion, people imagine that it means you love clothes. Whereas I don't actually think I really care that much about clothes. Like that wasn't really what drew me to fashion. I first got interested in fashion, I think, kind of like a lot of people, because of magazines, but it was more because of images. I was really interested in, it was always the photography that excited me more than the clothing. It was often, you know, the way the women were depicted or the sort of codes of those images. So I've never been someone that's been like hugely enamored with sort of having the latest thing. There's definitely designers that I really like and it's exciting to sort of, you know, wear their clothes or be able to have access to their clothing. But I think working in fashion has sort of had the opposite effect to what you would imagine, which is that it's made me even more fixed in my routines and maybe even less enthused by sort of new trends and ideas. I think I was quite highly influenced by work because I worked at Show Studio for 6 years as the editor and I worked alongside Nick Knight. And Nick wears the same outfit every day.
And Nick's a photographer.
Nick Knight is a photographer, indeed. So he's a sort of quite seminal British fashion photographer. Mm-hmm. And he started a platform called Show Studio in 2000, which was a really sort of innovative digital platform for showing fashion. And a lot of the focus was on live media and fashion film. And it was, you know, years before YouTube or anything like that. It's quite easy to forget how sort of pioneering it was and still is. And Nick sort of, his break in a way was this amazing book he did about skinheads. And I think people often think that Nick is quite sort of, he is quite irreverent as a person, but he dresses in this very sort of typical English gent way. And he wears the same outfit every day, which is a Kilgore suit, beautifully tailored grey suits. He'll wear different sort of shades of them with a white shirt and trickers, brogues.
Mm.
And when he's shooting, he wears Levi's with the same white shirt. And it's not sort of an affected thing of like, you know, he wants to create a certain impression. It's more that I think he feels really comfortable in the outfit. He's very, he moves a lot when he photographs. So, you know, models always joke that he outmodels them. So the jeans are great for that because he can sort of lie on the floor and be, you know, jumping around and moving around. But I think that sort of pattern of feeling quite comfortable in a uniform probably subconsciously had quite a big effect on me. And Nick and I weirdly actually dress quite similarly. We have quite similar tastes. So I also love wearing Levi's and jeans. I also love wearing suits. And I have a pair of trickers brogues as well. And I think I'm single white femaling here. But it definitely, going to work every day with someone who wears the same outfit every day definitely has an impact on you.
Yeah.
I think also there is that peacocking side of fashion. You know, going to the shows, you can get quite exhausted with people. It's kind of sad in a way because it can ruin dressing up for you. Yeah. You can start to see it quite cynically. So I think it definitely made me more aware of not wanting to get too caught up in that side of fashion where, like, I've been very conscious. I think also being a young woman working in the fashion industry, like a young woman working in any industry, you want to be taken seriously. And particularly because I'm a writer and I curate, which, you know, curating photography, it can feel really like a man's world. I'm very conscious of being taken seriously and not wanting people to dismiss me or see me as sort of frivolous in any way. So I've always been very conscious of not making my work as a fashion journalist anything to do with what I wear and what I put on my own body. And that's not to sort of denigrate anyone who does that, because I think there's people who do it wonderfully and I love to look at their amazing feeds of them looking fantastic in clothing. But I've always been very conscious of never making it about me. So I think particularly with how I dress and also how I sort of present myself on my own like platforms or social media, I've always tried to avoid it ever being about, you know, my taste and what I'm buying and what I'm putting on. I think, I mean, maybe it's sort of short-sighted or even like snobby, but to me, I always worried that by doing that, people would dismiss my intellectual abilities.
Takes away
in
from
some
the work
way.
In a way.
Exactly. Yes.
I think in my experience in the fashion industry, and especially as you say, like the shows, like the public facing kind of aspects of it, people do assume that your clothes and what you're wearing is like a calling card in a way. I guess that wearing a similar or a variation of something over and over again is a way of avoiding engaging in that too much.
Exactly. And also, you know, I travel loads for work. Mm. So it's, you know, there's really practical things as well. Like I am hideously unskilled at domestic tasks. So I can't iron. That's why I wear a lot of knitwear. I like wearing men's suits because I like the fabrics. They're sturdier. I'm really tall, so that's why I like wearing trainers. I have a bit of a trainer obsession. I collect trainers, so I have, like, they're in a cupboard over there. I have coming up like 100 pairs. It's kind of out of control. But I think there's something about that with, like, if you travel a lot, like anyone in any industry, like having a routine is really helpful. Mm-hmm. So things that you know that you feel good in is really, really helpful. And I think also being female, you know, things that you feel comfortable in, sort of what suits your body. Like, I have quite a curvy body, but I don't really like clothes that accentuate that. So I think, in a way, I've sort of developed a style where I don't feel sort of... I hate feeling, like, sexualized by my clothing. I do wear a lot of sort of sheer stuff or things that probably people would find quite, you know, quote-unquote sexy. But I like wearing clothes that sort of... Once you find a style where you feel really comfortable, I think you sort of fit with it and stick with it. And I always buy... Like, I have a joke with Rob, who I live with, that I basically own, like, my whole style is, like, the same 10 black smock dresses, because I basically am always wearing something quite monkish and oversized and, like, mannish, I guess.
So I have two wardrobes. This is one of them, which is a bit of a mess. Mm. So you can see a significant amount of my trainers are kind of at the bottom.
Loose
thrown around. There's a more organised trainer selection in that other wardrobe. So I think what's quite funny about my wardrobe is it's like super boring, most of it. Like you can see just endless pairs of jeans, endless knits. Some sporty stuff. I quite like tracksuits sometimes, like tracksuit tops. I love Adidas. Pretty much all my trainers are Adidas. And I wear a lot of Adidas sportswear. And then there's loads and loads of shirts. But then you also get to the section, which I guess is where, like, the fashion part of me comes out, where there's, like, crazy, like, Molly Goddard tulle dresses and, like, Simone Rocha, like, yeah, tulle dresses. I love pleats, please. I wear a lot of pleats, please.
But all these, like, they do seem in conversation with the other things. You know, like, there's the same colours, a lot of black.
It's impossible to find anything in my wardrobe because everything looks the same. You know, when you open it, it looks like hundreds and hundreds of black things hung together. Well, there's a lot of blue pinstripe and there's a lot of white and then there's a lot of denim. I love things that are sort of, I think with the wearing men's clothing thing, it's kind of the same with wearing clothing that can be different generations. I think that's why I really love something like Pleats Please and a lot of the brands that I really like I love Comme des Garçons, I love Simone Rocha. I think it's because it's you know, it's not like it's an androgynous appeal, but it is like an intergenerational appeal. I love that wearing clothes that, you know, a woman in her 60s would look amazing in. Mm. So I think that's what I really like about, like, this is a Pleats Please jumpsuit. And it's kind of quite sexy because it, like, zips up the front.
Mm.
And it zips really low. And then it comes up and it's got a little collar. So women tend to think it's really beautiful, but men find it terrifying. I think a lot of my clothes are quite like that.
Yeah.
Usually every day I wear, I feel like a fashion victim saying this, but you know those Vetements jeans that are made out of two pairs? So I have those in black and I have them in blue. I wear those basically every day. I put on a pair of those jeans, so in the black or the blue. I then either wear a shirt or a black knitted jumper. I tend to repeat buy things. Mm-hmm. So those Balenciaga boots with the buckles, I remember they're one of the most expensive things I ever bought, and I did buy them full price. They're like £800.
Mm.
And to me, that is still an insane amount of money. Yeah. Like, but I bought them and I wore them so much that I bought them again.
Mm.
And that sort of changed my relationship with buying really expensive stuff, because it kind of legitimized it to me, because I thought, and I wore them for years, like 4 years, and then they got so battered that I got this other pair. And I thought, actually, I could have gone through, like, probably 6 pairs of, you know, Zara boots in that time, because their quality wouldn't have been good and they wouldn't have been made as well.
Yeah.
So I wear those a lot. And then I love a big sort of sweeping mannish coat.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple that I really like. I have one that's kind of blue velvet, which looks kind of amazing. So I wear that a lot. That's what I turn to every day. It's always jeans.
What about if you're going out and do you have any garments that you kind of come back to?
When I go out, I tend to wear the same stuff. Like, I think what I really like, accessory, I tend to wear quite big earrings, and that's something that I definitely put on if I'm going out in the evening. I'll put on like a I've got these enormous, like, glittery Simone Rocha earrings, and I love red lipstick because I'm quite lazy, as people have probably got the impression.
It's a fast fix, red lipstick.
Yeah, and you just put on red lipstick. So that's sort of what I do if I'm going out. If I'm going something really fancy, I do like wearing... I quite like stuff that looks a little bit like your cake. So I think that's why I like Simone Rocha and I love Molly Goddard.
Yeah.
Like when my book came out.
All those tears.
Yeah, I wore this enormous red Molly Goddard dress and that felt really good. I wore it with little flat black shoes. Mm-hmm. I definitely do that repeat purchase thing. I'm thinking about this even more now. Like with trainers, like I tend to wear, even though I have so many pairs, they're pretty much all the same style. You can see they're either like a Samba or a Gazelle.
Gazelle, yeah.
So they're always kind of like slightly like 90s sort of
soccery,
yeah, and you know, kind of in these quite muted colors, and that's sort of what I like wearing with trainers. And definitely if I find a shape of something that I love, like I found these Chanel brogues and they they're flat and they have a little ankle strap around them and they're sort of cut out at the side, and I got given a pair in satin and I loved them so much, the shapes, that I went and found a leather pair as well and bought them. And that's sort of a similar thing where, you know, I wear the satin one I wear if I'm going out, the leather one I wear during the daytime. And I always try and just buy... I'm quite frugal as a person. That sounds really ironic, and I just talked about buying really expensive stuff. But I hate buying stuff that I don't wear. It makes me feel really uncomfortable to have stuff. So I really, if I find something... I think the most important thing for my clothes is that they're hardworking. Mm-hmm. I always think that's the most... you know, the best thing you can say about a garment is that you've worn it loads and loads and loads and that you've loved it. I mean, I've got some really silly things, which I really like to mix in, like something like this, which is a Marcus Almeida top, which is like, again, you can see it kind of looks a bit like a cake, see-through and really fluffy.
It's got a diagonal tears on it.
It does, and it's, I don't even know how you describe it. It's sort of a bit Marie Antoinette, but also a bit like...
Kind of like the ruffles you'd see on like a bed in a very old-fashioned B&B.
Exactly. So I wear that, but then if I was going out, I'd wear that with jeans and trainers or boots, and then... that sort of means that I sort of feel like me. I really like vintage shopping as well. I think you can get really good stuff in vintage stores. I think there's this thing around vintage where people think it's going to be quite retro and girly, whereas I get such good, you know, here I've got like a vintage Dries shirt that I found that's really, really great. You can get a lot of really good vintage men's clothes.
Yeah.
I also, one thing I should say is I love wearing jumpsuits and men's suits. Because again, it's like a uniform. It feels really sort of simple. So I've got a really good grey rag and bone suit, and then a navy Paul Smith suit, and a navy Acne suit that used to belong to Rob, who I live with, that I wear a lot. And again, I like them because it's a uniform. It's sort of, in terms of how you feel when you're wearing them, it feels exactly the same as if I'm wearing jeans and a jumper. It's that level of comfort, and it's really easy, and you kind of look like you've made an effort. I wear suits and trainers a lot. Which I love.
Where do you go vintage shopping?
Always abroad, never in England. So there's amazing, amazing vintage shopping in Antwerp. And in Florence, there's really good, you can get really good, like old Prada and stuff like that. There's really, really good stuff there. But I always go to the men's routes. And New York has amazing stuff like these. This shirt, this Prada shirt I got, it was like €30 in Florence. And these jeans, these are New York. New York has good vintage.
Yeah. Do you ever feel... limited by your routine dressing? Like, do you ever see a garment and think, oh, I'd love to buy that, but like where, like it just doesn't fit in with?
No, weirdly, it's a good question, because you know, I sometimes when I see people that have really minimal houses, I always think, oh, but what if you just love like a owl cushion, you know, what are you gonna like do,
piles of books,
exactly. And no, I've never felt like that, and I hate that idea. And I feel like I wouldn't say my wardrobe is like, I mean, I guess it's because I'm a curator, I hate the overuse of the word curated. So I would never use that word anyway, but I would never say that my wardrobe's like curated. Like, it's not particularly edited in that sense of I'm not controlled with it. If I love something, I would buy it, which I think is why some of my sort of slightly more crazy show pieces, like the Simone fluffy stuff or that Marcus Almeida top, if I love something, I always buy it. But I just have a very narrow taste.
I guess you're attracted to stuff that is like the stuff you already have in a way. Totally. Fits in with it.
And I always think, you know, would I wear this again and again and again? Because sometimes I see something and I really love it, but I know I wouldn't wear it, and that kills the joy of it of course, to me. Because I think I care about, and I think if you are spending money on clothes, you know, if you're spending serious money, if you're buying a designer piece, that's what you should care about most, is that it will sort of live and age with you.
Yeah.
it is kind of a joke with my friends that I wear the same stuff constantly. Well, the same look.
Yeah.
So now I, you know, it does feel a little ridiculous to buy like another pair of jeans or another. I mean, even looking at my wardrobe now, when I see it through like fresh eyes, it is ridiculous. It's like all the same shirts, all the same pair of jeans, all the same sweaters. Everything is exactly the same. But
I think it works for you.
Thank you.
You can find Lou Stoppard on Instagram and Twitter at Lou Stoppard.
About looking through Lou's wardrobe was that I could see a thread that ran through it all. The elaborate tulle dresses, they somehow made sense alongside the white cotton shirts and the vintage denim. It kind of actually made me realise that maybe capsule dressing doesn't have to be restrictive. It doesn't have to mean like 5 shirt dresses and 4 government bread on tops. There's more room for mood and personality and humour in there as well than I had anticipated. Stevie, is there anything that you tend to buy over and over again?
I would honestly love to be one of those people that returns to the same places to buy things. And it always makes me think of those style surveys that you'll read in fashion magazines.
I love them.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading years ago an article with Jane Birkin in Vogue, which was full of really great tips. Just one of them that has stayed with me is that she always used to line her Converse, I think, with like sheepskin insoles or something, which just sounded very...
Decadent,
but also like good for you.
Yeah,
and you know, like she'd be one of those people who'd say things like, "Oh, I always buy new slippers on trips to Morocco."
Less practical.
Yeah, but like you know, I think that people who are jet setting and also have lots of money are more likely to maybe buy things in the same places. Certainly more likely than I am. Mm. If I absolutely love an item of clothing, I will buy it twice, and that's really bolstered by a fear. Around the fact that shops just don't sell the same items again and again. You know, even long-standing shops will change the quality of the fabrics that they use on a pair of shoes, or you'll notice differences. I have 2 pairs of jeans, white jeans from COS, and also 2 white shirts from Uniqlo, and both of those I bought in the sale because I just can't really justify buying things at full cost.
Such
and
a big
bulk.
Expenditure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I do always buy the same pair of pants in multi-packs from M&S. Like, I'm sure about 50% of
English
Britain.
People, such an English thing to do, multi-pack pants.
I know.
I love it.
But what I really want is a collection of boiler suits. I've decided that's something that I'm going to be shopping around for. I have one at the moment, which just, I think maybe I've outgrown it. It feels a little bit too 80s for me to really pull it off. And I want a pair of, you know, in navy and green and a few different colours to just zip myself into every day.
Can't wait to see them.
Well, yeah, watch this space. How about you? What do you buy again and again?
I think I have more repeat eBay searches than repeat buys. I'm hardly going to divulge them all on a podcast right now.
It's such sensitive information, isn't it? The whole eBay search term. I live for it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's amazing. You could write anthologies about that topic. But I do. I like old Margaret Howell, and there are certain impossible to find, but every now and again you'll find them, Dries Van Noten collections that I do hunt down. But that makes me sound like way more glamorous than I am. For me, like on a day-to-day basis, it's much more about like woolen kilts and black turtlenecks and Nikes over and over again. I think the eBay search terms are more representative of the person I want to dress like than the person I actually am.
That's so true. Like, I don't know about you, but there are search terms I have been using for years and having this idea of an elusive item in my head that, spend 5 years searching for it and maybe still not owning it.
Yeah.
It's like window shopping, isn't it?
Maybe it's called window shopping because it's a window of opportunity.
So much wisdom. You should write horoscopes.
Oh, I wish.
To be honest, I think that we could dedicate an entire episode to eBay search terms. Like, we could just ask people, describe yourself in 3 eBay search terms.
That's a really good idea.
It would reveal a lot. We'll be posting images of items mentioned in this episode throughout the week on our Instagram, which is layers.podcast. Because the theme of our last episode was movement, we asked you to share photos of outfits you love to dance in. And we shared them via Instagram stories, and there were so many great responses.
I loved it.
I really liked Laura Goodman's story of dancing in these like bright metallic gold Reebok classics at her wedding. Anyway, this time we're going to ask you if you can tell us about an item of clothing that you buy again and again, and also where you get it from. And if you can take a picture too and send it to us, that'd be great. You can email us at layerspodcast@gmail.com, and you can also send us bits via Twitter. Our account is layerspodcast, or on Instagram. Just send us a photo or words, whatever, it's all great. And we're going to share them via stories, sort of like a very wise and great shopping list.
Thanks for listening. Production is by the fantastic Lucy Dearlove, with additional help from Carl McDonald. Before we go, we'll leave you with Loved and Lost, our regular spot for clothes that have gone astray. This one comes from Sofia Polikovic, a fashion and culture writer based in London. You can find her on Twitter, at Polikovic. That's PAULIKOVICS. See you next time.
For my 14th birthday, my mum bought me a leather biker jacket made of soft lambskin with heavy silver zippers running up the front and along each arm. Wearing it made me feel like soon I might sit on a park bench with the boy until the early morning. It was then the most expensive thing I'd ever owned. If I had it now, it still would be. In September 2014, my girlfriends and I were about to spend the week in Barcelona before heading back to university, or in my case, starting it again for a second time. I'd just broken up with a long-term boyfriend, and soon I'd be moving to London, the most exciting place on earth. Everything felt large and significant. We stayed in a flat on the fifth floor of a pale yellow building with large windows and larger green window blinds. In the evenings, we ate cheese and drank supermarket sangria, and in the mornings, we sliced up two mangoes and took it to the beach in a Ziploc bag. I didn't pack a jumper, just a leather jacket. It was sturdy, but thin enough to wear as a cover-up on a summer night, so I had it slung over my shoulder when, in the midst of a screaming row the four of us were having outside the club, a man slid his hand up the leg of my shorts, and then up further still. It fell when I stumbled after him, as he ran laughing in the street, and although someone remembered to pick it up, I began losing it a little that night. None of us spoke in the taxi home, and when I think of the jacket now, I don't see a boy, or a park bench, or green window blinds. I see the back of a car seat and my hands, resting sweaty in my lap. I could feel it slipping further away the next day in the Parc Güell, while we took selfies on a mosaic bench. Somehow I knew we'll never go on a trip like this again. Further still, in the tapas restaurant in the evening, while I fiddled with its zipper, so I didn't have to look at my friend blotting the oil from her tuna with a napkin. I don't remember when I lost the jacket completely, but when I got off the plane home it was raining, so I reached to drape it over my head, and then it was gone.